Good morning, everyone. I'm John Myrie, and welcome to the Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. On this week's show, we're talking with Hayward Area Fishing Guide Steve Jensen down at Hayward Bait and Bottle. And then we've got some great walleye fishing tips for you from Minnesota Pro Tom Newstrom and also Tournament Pro Tony Puccio. And lastly, we're talking muskies with Green Bay Area Muskie Guide Eric Larson. Lots to cover this week on the show, all coming up right after these messages.
You want to get outdoors, you want to have some fun.
Get to Hayward Power Sports for the Polaris Spring Sales Event and then hit the off-road with more money in your pocket. Finally, get the ATV or side-by-side you've always wanted and claim rebates of up to $2,000 and financing as low as 2.99%. For example, get $1,200 back on the Polaris Ranger XP900, the best-selling utility vehicle of all time. Polaris Sportsman is the world's best-selling ATV and offers a $500 rebate on any 450 or 570 model. Then there's the awesome Polaris RZR XP1000, the off-road's best-selling performance machine, boasting a $2,000 rebate. The best machines, up to $2,000 in rebates, financing as low as 2.99%. It all adds up to the best time to buy during the Polaris Spring Sales Event at Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77.
Offer valid in the U.S. through 4/30/17 on new models and subject to credit approval. Offers vary by model. See dealer for details. Off-road vehicles can be hazardous to operate. Always wear a helmet and take a safety training course.
Riding along in my automobile.
Bumping into things unexpectedly? Make your first choice for collision repair. Ernie's Auto Body, featuring the most advanced collision repair facility in northwest Wisconsin. With a state-of-the-art spray bake-down draft paint booth for that better-than-new finish, laser technology for precision frame alignment, loaner cars available, computerized estimates, written guarantees, and documented unmatched customer service, the clear choice is Ernie's Auto Body, south of Hayward on Highway 63 and Nursery Road, where quality is no accident.
Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering welcomes you to stop by for their great selection of mouth-watering steaks, as well as many varieties of brat sausages and much more. Along with that, Lynn's also has a variety of snack sticks, summer sausage, cheese curds, and homemade jerky, as well as great double-smoked bacon. Lynn's is open Mondays to Fridays from 9 to 5:30, Saturdays 9 to 4, and closed Sundays. Lynn's Custom Meats and Catering, next to Cooper's Family Restaurant in Hayward.
Spring has sprung, and the entire pre-owned inventory at Timber Ford has exploded. Don't wait. Check out our incredible selection and take advantage of our super low pre-owned prices. Like our 2011 Ford Mustang with 44,000 miles and priced at only $12,995. Or our 2016 Dodge Grand Caravan with only 26,000 miles for just $19,995. Looking for a super low monthly payment? Check out our 2010 Chevy Impala for only $150 a month. Save big and save now at Timber Ford of Hayward.
Today we're recording this week's show down at Hayward Bait and Bottle, and I've got, for co-host, I've got one of the better fishing guides in the Hayward area, a friend of mine, Steve Jensen. Good morning, Steve.
Thanks for having me on, John. Pleasure to be here, as always.
Oh, spring is here. Spring has sprung, you know. You have to excuse me. I got a little bit of a frog in my throat here, but, you know, what do you expect? But anyway, let's talk about the fishing. You know, we're going to be starting to see some really good fishing out here early for crappies and stuff.
Yeah, I think that's going to be true, John. As we speak right now, almost all the ice is gone. There might be a little bit on round. There might be a little bit on LCO, but everything else is off. So now it's just a matter of waiting until we get a little bit of warm temperatures, which it looks like we're going to start getting this weekend. As soon as we get that shallow water starting to warm a little bit, you will see some panfish move in, and they are usually pretty easy to catch once they start moving in.
Well, actually, you can get them out in some of the deeper water, too, if they're not. You got to look both places, right? You got to kind of start out a little deep and then move your way in.
Oh, absolutely. You know how it is. It doesn't all happen in one day. And when you have such a cold spring, those fish can hang in that deeper water until you get those warming days where that water temperature really starts to change. And once you have that, you'll generally see a movement. But each and every day, you want to check both areas. And typically, the normal scenario would be fishing a little bit deeper earlier in the day. And then as the day progresses and the sun warms it up, you'll see those fish transition shallower, and the bite typically moves a little shallower as you get later in the day.
We've talked about that lots of times too. The fish kind of out there and deeper, they come vertically up and then they go horizontally towards shore.
Yep, absolutely, John. So they're raising up to get in any warmer water they can find. If it's even 1 degree warmer, they will raise up into that, trying to increase their metabolism, get ready for spawning, just in general get warmer. So anytime they can find even a degree or two warmer water, they will raise up into that, and that's what they're looking for.
Water temperature, you mentioned 1 degree is a real big deal to a fish. So people don't think that, but that That's what we're looking for when we're out there in the spring. Most of the guides are, and most of the good fishermen, you watch that temperature gauge like a hawk.
Like a hawk. Honestly, John, it is the biggest single most factor that you want to be paying attention to when you're attacking any kind of fish species in the spring. It's pay attention to water temperature, because they will be seeking out the warmer water, and you can literally eliminate a lot of dead water just by watching your temperature gauge and paying attention to what's on it.
What have you heard as far as the fishing up on Lake Superior? I'm sure there's some guys up there trolling. They were for a few weeks already.
Yeah, absolutely, John. They are getting some cohos up there. We are also hearing quite a bit about the Brule and some of the other tributary streams. They're getting some nice steelhead as well. So there's absolutely some action going on up there too.
And, you know, we got some guys that will be fishing below the dams and the rivers here too. I mean, you're limited as to what you could go after, suckers, red horse, panfish.
Yeah, correct. On the inland, of course, we can't fish for game fish, but you can fish for panfish, which includes crappie, bluegill, perch, but you can also fish for rough fish. And a lot of guys do that, John. They go to the Namekagon River, fish for white suckers and red horse, and that's excellent fight, a lot of fun. And a lot of those guys will smoke those fish, and they're excellent eating as well.
Well, they up here, and the water is clear up here. The water's clean. I mean, anything you catch is actually good eating.
Yeah, absolutely. And we have lots of people that actually target those red horse when they come up the river to spawn. And like I say, it's a lot of fun. They're hard fighting fish, relatively easy to catch, and again, pretty good table fare once you put them in a smoker.
I know you're getting ready, wanting to get ready to get out on the water too, like I am, but you've been busy down here at Hayward Bait and Bottle. Big thing going on down here with the expansion.
Oh yeah, we got a huge addition going on, John, so we're kind of remodeling as we add the addition. The place kind of looks like a bomb went off right now, but we're going to get it all put together here real quick. We should have everything ready to go for the opener, and it is going to be an awesome addition. We're going to have a lot of new stuff. We're going to have a lot more stuff. We're going to add a lot more hunting. So we'll really be a fully rounded sporting goods store, and we're looking forward to getting through the growing pain, so to speak, adding the addition. But once it's done, we're going to be ready to roll.
I know you're going to add a lot of new musky stuff this year, too.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to increase the wall. Got a bunch of cool new things coming in. I know I got a big order with Lake X. They've been very difficult to get the years previous. I've got a really nice order of those coming. I got the new Kramer Brothers Revolution bucktails coming, which is probably one of the more innovative products we've seen on the musky market this year. So yeah, you bet, we're adding more and looking forward to getting a lot of good stuff for everybody to come and chop.
You know, Steve, talking about fishing, that's one thing, we fish shallow right away in the spring. We're looking for fish shallow, but there's a good bite for walleyes, particularly in shallow weeds, almost all year long, that really doesn't get taken.
Absolutely, I agree 1,000%. In fact, that's one of my favorite things to do, and if you hire me for walleye fishing, that's typically the way I like to go about it, John, is either throw on jig and a minnow or jig and plastics, meaning generally swim baits, through new emerging cabbage weed beds. It's a great pattern, especially through June and early July.
You know, I had a chance to talk to one of the big-name pros, Tom Newstrom, a Minnesota fishing guide and pro angler over there, about that. Let's hear what he had to say about that, fishing the shallow water walleye bite. Well, Tom, I know that one of your favorite fish when you're out there fishing, and you do a lot of guiding for them too, is walleyes up in northern Minnesota. You know, a lot of guys, I think, spend a lot of time fishing deeper than maybe they need to sometimes, especially when you get a year where the water temperatures are cooler.
Yeah, and, you know, here's the thing is, a lot of fish are up shallow and guys never target them. And we've learned, I think, over the last few years that there's more walleyes up in shallow water all season, especially when the water temperatures are cool. And there's just something about it, and the shallow water bite is a very aggressive bite, and you can do a lot of things. You know, you can get some bonus northern pike doing it by trolling shad wraps or jig fishing, and one of the things that we do, John, that is old school stuff that has come back is pulling spinners. And I go up in that 8 to 10 feet of water. I use about a 3/16 ounce cone sinker, maybe a 30 foot lead to a gold spinner, and a larger hook, like a one long shank hook. I'll put a minnow on there or a half a crawler, and we troll at about 1.25 miles an hour. You can go forward or reverse, it doesn't matter, with 30 to 35 feet of line out. You don't want a lot of line out, but it's been very effective for us, and we're covering water. And sometimes if I'll get two fish on at a time in one specific weed area, you know, I'll mark it with my GPS and I'll go back and have them jig fish it. And a lot of times you'll put a few extra fish in the boat. But, you know, we're doing things differently. I think we're finding some of the old school methods have been really, really good for us. And we just take them up a notch and we change them up a little bit. And not to say that guys years ago, 30, 40 years ago, didn't know what they were doing. I think that we did was we modified the presentation and made it better.
When you're talking about trolling that shallow with the spinner rigs, you're not trolling in the thicker weeds, though, are you? Along the edge of the weeds?
Yeah, on the edge, but I'll troll over the top of them, and I'm looking for clumps. You know, I'm looking for isolated clumps because a lot of times these fish will sit in these pockets between the clumps, and when that spinner goes by or a jig goes by, they're whacking on it. You know, I mean, that's their ambush point. But if it's a weed flat that is just solid weeds, a little different to fish, a little difficult, maybe not as productive. But if they got holes in them and they got these isolated clumps, they've been really good target areas for us these last few years.
When you're looking for these pockets and holes in the weeds, if you're stopping a jig fish, you just heavier, lighter jigs in there, and just kind of target the pockets.
Oh yeah, we use like 16ths usually in there, so it kind of drops a little slower. You know, you don't want it where it drops too fast. You know, and like I say, they're ambush points. That's what they're using them for. They're ambush points, and I think if people start fishing shallow water a little bit more than they used to, they're going to be amazed at what's in there. And there's other species in there. There's bass and pike. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff in there. But there's a lot of walleyes in those weed beds.
And I think sometimes maybe you guys are trying to fish them too slow. They don't move the jig enough when they're jigging.
No, and you got to move. You're looking for aggressive fish. You're looking for fish that bite. You know, you're not looking for something that you have to sit there and wait them out like with a bobber. You're looking at moving and catching. That's what the whole thing about fishing weeds is. You move them a little quicker, you know, whether you're jigging or pulling a spinner, and it's been really effective, and that's the whole thing about it.
Well, you know, he's a pretty interesting guy when I run into him. I've been a friend of mine for a long time. But right now, we do need to take a break and hear from more of our fine sponsors. Come back, I've got an interview on walleye fishing with another fishing pro.
Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop for the Hayward area's largest selection of rods, reels, lures, fishing electronics, boating supplies, and much more. Whether you fish for bass, walleyes, panfish, or muskies, gear up for the upcoming fishing season, and if you're getting ready for the spring turkey season too, they also have just about everything you'll need for a successful season. In the bottle shop, you'll find a full selection of beer and liquor, as well as a huge wine sale going on. Hayward Bait and Bottle is your one stop sport and bottle shop.
The Hayward Lakes Visitors and Convention Bureau in Sawyer County, Wisconsin welcomes you to our Northwoods hometown. No matter the season, no matter the activity, you'll always be surrounded by our great outdoors. What more could you ask for in a vacation destination? Woods, waters, world-class events. Contact us for information on lodging, dining, attractions, events, trail conditions, and more. Order your free vacation guide and start planning your getaway today. Visit us at haywardlakes.com or call 1-800-724-2992.
Hayward Power Sports provides you the ultimate fishing experience with Lund Boats. Lund's exclusive IPS hull provides precise boat control and a soft, dry ride, no matter how rough the water is. Add in Lund's state-of-the-art live wells, ultra-comfort seats, and ample storage, and you're ready to fish like a pro. Plus, Lund Boats hold their value like no other. I'm Johnny, and I want to show you the ultimate fishing experience with a Lund from Hayward Power Sports, just 10 minutes east of Hayward on Highway 77. Or call us at 715-462-3674.
If you'd like to have your time fishing be more enjoyable and productive, hiring a fishing guide can be a good investment. Whether it's learning more about fish patterns throughout the year, learning how to use your depth finder to find the best spots and fish, learn how to use that GPS to get the most out of it, or learn better boat control, a day on the water with a guide can really help you to be a better angler, as well as make a day on the lake very enjoyable. To book a guide trip this year or get more information, call myself, John Myrie, at 715-462-9402. Or Art Malin at 715-865-2336, or you can find us on the internet at www.wiscnorthlandoutdoors.com, and then just click on Area Guides.
Welcome back to another segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors. With myself, John Myrie, and helping co-host today is Steve Jensen. And Steve, we got a little interview here with Tony Puccio, guy that makes bait rigs. Tony, been fishing a long time.
Long time. I've actually fished side-by-side with Tony Puccio on the professional muskie tournament trail. He also does some muskie fishing as well, and great old-timer. He's been around a long time, a vast knowledge. He knows a lot of stuff, John, and a great person to talk to and get some information from, that's for sure.
Let's hear what he had to say about walleye fishing and give you some tips for the upcoming season.
Well, Tony, along with owning Bait Rigs Tackle Company, which most fishermen out there have heard of, and fishing walleye tournaments, I know you also do a radio show. How about any tips for our listeners out here on, you know, first of all, when it comes to walleye, the walleye season's coming up, finding walleyes and catching them. What can a person do to be more effective out there starting out?
Well, you know, you can read a lot of articles about things, but walleyes are are a fish of their own. You know, they change with weather, they change patterns. Typically, let's talk spring, okay? When the spawn is over, they hang around the river mouths and stuff where they're spawning, and usually our opening is the first Saturday in May. Depending if the water temperature is still in that low 40s, they'll still be around those river mouths. But my motto is for finding walleyes, find the food, find the bait fish, you'll find the predators. And walleyes are a predator, you know. When they're not always in the rocks, they're not always in the wood, sometimes they'll chase bait up into that structure, but when they're full, they move off. And they might be laying in the sand. Sand flats are a great place for spring fish. And when I find those walleyes up in the sand flats, I love to cast for them. And not necessarily jigging a minnow or jigging a leech or just a jigging plastic. I like to throw like Rapala type, minnow type baits. I have some special. I'm a favorite for pink and white in the spring for walleyes. So I had some of my jointed shad wraps. I have a friend of mine who does painting, and I had him paint me up some pink and white. And I have found that pink and white in the dark water, tannic stain, has been a dynamite color, and it catches me a lot of fish. So, folks, if you know somebody who paints, you need to get some Rapalas. And I'm not trying to sell Rapalas, but I'll tell you, pink and white is a great pattern. For some reason, I've had tremendous luck with it in dark stained water.
Tony, you know, when we're talking spring walleyes, and you talked about location on one of the other shows here, how much of an effect does water temperature have on any given body of water?
Well, you know, dark stained water shallow warms up faster, and that draws in the bait. So, and, you know, say, for instance, say you're on the south end of a lake, and you got north winds, blah, 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 it's blowing the cooler water down, you got 45 degree temperature on the south end, let's say you got 50 up north. Well, I want to be fishing where it's 50, you know? And darker water warms up faster. Sometimes the walleyes will move into the new emerging weeds that are growing up in the soft bottom. You know, they won't always, you know, a lot of people think walleyes are in rocks all the time, and they're not. I've caught some of my biggest fish in August in 3 feet of water in the mud. So, you know, there's the bait connection, bait, your shad, your minnows, or whatever, are moved by water temperature. They want to be where it's warmer because that's where they're comfortable. And, of course, there's oxygen levels. So if you got a little bit of, you know, streams or spring-fed areas that are warmer than other places in the lake, that's where I want to be.
I know you mentioned weeds. Also, I know that wood is a factor on a lot of different bodies of water.
Right. And in your part of the country, up northern Wisconsin, where you got a lot of that fallen timber and wood, it's dark, it's black. That wood gets black in the water, and it warms up faster around it. So therefore, you got the water temperature along, and the wood acts as cover, not only for the bait, but for the walleyes to attack from.
Well, Tony, you know, jigs and jig fishing is one of the most effective ways, and a lot of times, to catch walleyes. There's a lot of different types of jigs out there in the market. How does a person decide what type of jig to use and what weight jig to use to start out?
Well, it all depends on the rod you have and how, you know, older guys like me and you, John, get a lot of arthritis in your hands. I got to go to a little lighter rod. And I tell you, what I've been using is 6 pound fire line with a 6 pound or an 8 pound fluorocarbon leader, only about a foot long. And I tie that with a number 12 swivel, very, very small. But I'm a firm believer in fish seeing line, and especially when you're jigging in the spring in shallow water. So I use the gray fire line. I don't use no green, the stuff that say you can see it better. Right. I don't care about I seeing it better. I want the fish to see it. But what's been a big advantage to me over the last couple of years is using that 12-inch fluorocarbon leader and an 1/8 ounce jig. And if you need a bigger jig to feel it, okay, you got the rod in your hand. You need to feel what the jig is doing. That's the most important thing. Contact with the jig so you know where it's at. And if you don't have the feel in your hands, or you don't have the right equipment, then go to a bigger jig. Don't be afraid. Fish don't say, oh, that's a quarter ounce jig, I'm not gonna bite it, you know? You need to move that jig. And you know, there's no set rule how to jig a jig. You know, you wanna be versatile when you're jigging that jig. You wanna pump it a little bit, set it down.
Well, Tony's always an interesting guy. We take another break right now and hear from more of our fine sponsors. We come back, we're going to talk a little bit about soft plastics for muskies. So stay tuned. We'll be back right after these messages.
Check out OC Outfitters for all your fishing, hunting, and camping needs this year. They're ready to get you out on the lake with everything from rods and reels to licenses and live bait. Come see their Columbia clothing for men, women, and children. They have a full line of shirts, rain gear, shorts, and jackets, and they have new rifles, shotguns, and handguns to choose from. New this season, a propane filling station. That's OC Outfitters, 4 miles east of Hayward on Highway B, open 7 days a week. Phone 715-634-1044.
Attention pet owners! Dr. Ostrander is excited to announce the addition of veterinarian Dr. Abby Stoll to the staff of Hayward Animal Hospital. Dr. Abby comes from a family with a strong veterinarian tradition. Her grandfather, brother, and cousin are all veterinarians, and her father is an elk biologist. She has a passion for animals. Dr. Abby is intelligent, experienced, kind, and compassionate. Come meet this extraordinary woman at Hayward Animal Hospital, located on Highway B.
Welcome back to the last segment of this week's Wisconsin Northland Outdoors with myself, John Myrie, and co-host Steve Jensen. And Steven, one of your favorite baits is soft rubber, soft plastic.
Oh yeah, you know me. I'm a big fan of all the rubber baits out there. And your rubber hairy tackle's been around for a while. Eric's been making those baits. And again, it's a presentation that a lot of guys overlook, but it works from season beginning to season end. And it's one that I rely on a lot, especially when I'm on pressured water and especially when I'm in a tournament situation. They will produce when other baits won't.
I know you throw a lot of musky innovation stuff, as do I, the Bulldogs and some of their stuff. I know that Eric's come out with a couple of interesting things, too, with that Goliath toad and stuff, which yeah. I'm kind of looking to try that in some shallow water.
There's always new stuff to add, and changing shapes and the vibration that these lures put out is really the biggest thing, the water displacement. So anything that's a little bit newer, a little bit different, as you know, when you show musky something they haven't seen before, it's usually a good result.
Well, let's hear what Eric Larson, the Green Bay guide over there, who makes the Rubber Hairy Tackle Company baits. Let's hear what he has to say about soft plastics and some of the new stuff he's got. When we come back, we'll have a wrap-up on the show.
We're down at the Wisconsin Muskie Expo. I'm talking to Eric Larson from the Rubber Hairy Tackle Company. Different name for tackle company here, Eric.
Yeah, it's something everybody remembers. I kind of giggle about it, but they put fish in the boat.
We make soft plastic lures. I mean, you got the original, I think you started with what, the Twinkie, you call it?
Yes, correct.
Yeah. And you've added what now?
We've added the Goliath toad this year to our lineup, which is a soft plastic toad, kind of life action in the water.
You know, soft plastic baits have been really hot, Eric. And what kind of, you know, tips can you give people on catching fish? I don't think more people are throwing them now, but I don't think enough people throw them sometimes.
Well, I think people don't give it the time. They don't have the confidence in the rubber. You got to give it more time, stick with it, find a color you're confident in, and you're going to put more fish in the boat because it's something that looks real in the water. It acts real. The fish bite onto it. They clamp onto it. It feels real to them. You're going to catch more fish by throwing rubber.
I think a lot of the factor with it too is that it's not a repetitive action. Things like a Twinkie or a Bulldog or anything like that, the tail moves different all the time. You know, something's different all the time. It's not the same action repetitively.
Correct. It's a different action every time you cast it. Whether you jerk them in or you straight retrieve it, it's a different action.
You mentioned jerking a bait or, you know, moving the bait different, like crank it straight in. There's no wrong way of working these baits, most of them.
No, any way you work it, as long as it's in the water, it's moving, it's pushing water, the tail's working, you're going to catch fish.
You know, sometimes erratic does help, though, I think. A stop, go, pause, a lift, drop.
Correct. Yep, under different conditions with more active fish.
How about adding spinner blades in front? I've seen guys doing that on rubber. Does that help, you think, as far as triggering more strikes?
Absolutely. You get extra flash, extra vibration. It can move it a little bit differently in the water. It can displace the water differently. It's something the fish just can't figure out.
It's something a lot of the baits you can fish almost any depth you want to fish them too, shallow, deep, anywhere in between, I think.
Correct. You work them a little slower, more of a pause, you'll get them down deeper. If you work them up higher in the water column or faster, they'll stay up higher and over weeds. So there really is no wrong way of fishing them.
You got this new toad you mentioned. Is that basically more of a shallower bait, or how is that working?
Kind of in between. It'll stay up shallow. It's got a slow fall to it, so you can work it shallow. But the guys that work it a little slower, let it go a little deeper, they have that opportunity to get it down 8 or 9 feet and keep it at that level.
You know, one mistake I see people make, I believe, with fishing soft rubber is sometimes they don't have a heavy enough rod. I mean, you got to have the rod to get the hook set with that soft rubber, I think.
Correct, and that's why I like a high-speed reel, some like the Revo Red Rocket. It picks up 40 inches per crank, and that really helps when the fish hits because they can sink their teeth in the rubber, and you can't slide the rubber through their mouth to get the hooks in them. So by having that faster reel, you can crank down on them, set the hook. You got a better chance of getting hooks into them.
You got the backbone and the rod will help.
Correct.
And, you want a heavier line. I like using a little heavier line, too, with those rods because a lot of times you're up close setting the hook sometimes.
Yep. A lot of guys are using a 100-pound Power Pro. I actually like the 80-pound. I feel you got to have a little bit of give. Something's got to give or something's going to break.
Yeah. Well, that's true, too. I mean, there's a lot of different ways to look. But anyway, you know, keep your hook sharp, make sure you get a good hook set, and don't be afraid to fish that rubber because that rubber does catch fish.
Correct, and rubber's kind of underthrown. You know, there's times and situations where guys aren't moving fish, they should have rubber on, and they could, you know, it's the difference of putting a fish in the boat or not putting a fish in the boat that day.
Cold front conditions particularly. I notice cold fronts is where they really seem to shine sometimes.
Cold fronts, cold water conditions early in the spring, late in the fall, and that summer cold front where it just turns everything right down. Get your baits down a little deeper. Try working it a little slower. If that doesn't work, switch up and go erratic. And a lot of times you can trigger that neutral fish into going.
Eric, you also guide too. Where are you guiding at now?
Bay of Green Bay and kind of northeastern Wisconsin. I do a few other lakes, Lake Winnebago, Little Green, Fox, a few smaller lakes too. So if we do get blown off the bay, we've got opportunities to still fish that day.
How was the Green Bay this year as far as big fish?
It still kicks out big fish on a yearly basis. It was a little slower with the weather patterns. It seems more of a consistent warmer summer. Bigger fish seem to want to go. I'm expecting with this early spring, early ice out, warmer water, I think you're going to see a lot of big fish coming out of Green Bay this year. It's going to be a good year.
It's probably one of the better big fish waters we've got in the state, I think.
Correct.
Eric, I want to give out some information as far as your bait company, tackle company, and your guide service.
www.rubberhairytackle.com.
Oh, thank you for coming on here.
Thank you.
You know, Eric's quite a character, I guess. He's a different kind of guy.
He is a little bit different, but I think we all are, John. It kind of comes with the territory when you're a musky fisherman.
You know, there's a lot of things to do right now. Our time's going to be starting to get short. We need to get going to get, if you haven't done it already, start getting planning for the open water because it's here already.
Absolutely, John. You need to be getting your line re-spooled. You need to be getting new licenses. You need to be getting all your tackle ready to go. Make sure your boats are out. Get your batteries charged. Make sure everything is in working order. You don't want to be screwing around fooling with that stuff on opening day. You want to be ready to go when the time is here.
You know, talking about some new stuff too, everybody looks for new gear, and we talked about this all the time, but you know, Humminbird and Minn Kota have got a lot of new stuff out. I got in a new Smart Strike card the other day.
Did you?
And I put it in Helix 9, and I just played around with it in my shop. I'd pull it up and look at the lakes, and you know, a lot of this, not all of them, but a good thing, not all of them, I'm saying. But but there are spots that I know I fish that are on there for different species of fish.
Sure, yeah, it would be interesting to see, you know, what kind of information. So with the Smart Strike, what you do is you punch in what species you're looking for, the type of lake that you're on, water temperature, time of year, and it will formulate, run a computer program, and it will highlight areas on your lake map that are supposedly, you know, supposed to be good for the species that you're targeting. So it would be interesting to see how that matches up with what our own brain tells us sometimes.
Well, there are some good spots marked on there. That I will tell you for sure, just a little bit I played with it, so it's definitely worth having. And the interesting thing is that you can run it on any one of the Humminbird Helix units now. 5s, 7s, 9s, 10s, 12s.
Yep. Yeah, they've really made the Helix line has really become user-friendly. It's what's on my boat. It's what's going on my new boat. They are an excellent product, very user-friendly, and actually a pretty nice price point for a high-end unit.
Steve, we got to wrap up the show here. You want to give out some guide information for your guide business?
Yeah, you bet, John. If anybody wants to get out and chase some muskies or any other freshwater fish species this summer, you can get a hold of me on my cell phone at 715-558-3709 at fishhunts.com. Or, of course, you can always stop down at Hayward Bait and Bottle and get my information there as well, John.
And, folks, if you miss a show, remember you can always hear that show on our website. We got a podcast site out there. Our website is wnoradio.net, and that'll put you to the podcast. Interesting. We, you know, good way to get a hold of the show if you missed it.
Yep, absolutely. And I have people come in saying, oh, they missed it, so I always send them your way.
Yeah, well, I have people from all over California even call me. So anyway, I want to thank you for tuning in. We're out of time. Steve, I want to thank you.
Yep, thanks for having me, John, anytime.
And we'll see you again next week, folks.
Me, I'm gonna take you there to our Wisconsin outdoors, our Wisconsin outdoors.
This program has been produced and hosted entirely by Wisconsin Northland Outdoor Communications. Any and all views expressed are not necessarily those of the station.